I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the book LeBron James wishes Scott Rabb hadn't written. But first, on Thursday afternoon, Oklahoma State University women's basketball coach Kurt Budke and his assistant Miranda Serna were killed when the private plane in which they were traveling crashed near Perryville, Arkansas. It was the second time the Oklahoma State community had suffered such a loss. In 2001, 10 men affiliated with the university's men's basketball team died in a plane crash. University President Burns Hargis celebrated Kurt Budke as, quote, an exemplary leader, and Miranda Serna as, quote, an outstanding role model. Oklahoma State canceled the team's game scheduled for this weekend. The NBA, I'm sad to say, there's little to report. What happens next will probably be determined in a court, and not a court surrounded by a crowd both loud and large, but one in which a judge, and not a ref, will be in charge. Joining me now to discuss the likelihood that we'll see even a much abbreviated NBA season is Sports Illustrated Sam Amick. Sam, welcome to Only a Game.
Bill, thanks for having me.
David Stern briefed the owners yesterday on the current situation, but the league has not said when it might next return to negotiations. Are talks likely to resume soon?
I don't see it as likely, Bill. I think right now the owners seem pretty inclined to go backwards with their offer. I think their view on this is the players took a drastic move, and it's not going to cause the owners to blink, so it's not looking good.
Earlier this week, Commissioner Stern announced there would be no games before December 15th, and of course there's speculation now the whole season may be in jeopardy. Is that your take on it?
It is. I mean, the waters are murky right now, Bill, but the reality is these guys are not sitting at the table. The games are falling off the docket. And, again, the fact that the players caught the owners off guard with a legal route that you can call it bold, you can call it ill-advised, but the owners, I don't think, are going to improve the offer. And really, right now, that's the only way this season takes place.
The legal move to which you referred, of course, is the NBA Players Association decertified, and two groups of players have filed antitrust suits, one in California, one in Minnesota, against the league. What was the reasoning behind those moves?
The union essentially reached a point where they felt as if the owners were done negotiating. They were getting fairly close to an agreement, but then the league and David Stern essentially said, this is going to be it. This is our last best offer, and if you decline this one, then it's going to go backwards, and it's going to be 47% for the players. The union, in response, essentially said, you're not acting, negotiating in good faith. We're going to take you to court. They're rolling the dice. They're seeking treble damages that nobody has ever successfully reached in a pro sports lawsuit. I don't think the odds are good, but that's the route they're taking.
The two sides were reported to be close to an agreement on the split of basketball-related income before the owners issued their ultimatum. So what are the issues still causing the current impasse?
The players think that the current proposal is far too restrictive to player movement. They want, in essence, more freedom than they're being offered in the current deal. Another significant aspect is the argument over the escrow system and the fact that the way the owners want to do it is to have an unlimited escrow system that, in essence, protects them from any bad decisions they make. If they spend too much money on players, they can backdoor the entire thing and dip into the players' pool to cover those losses. And so, I think all the way through this proposal, the players just feel like the debt is expected to come off on their backs. They're supposed to give this money back, and that the owners, they want complete cost certainty and they're not taking any risk at all in this current proposal.
The first court hearing is scheduled for March the 9th, which would seem to leave a lot of time between now and then for a resolution. Would it be in the best interest of all concerned to avoid what is certain to be a very long legal process?
Without question. I mean, that's the frustrating part for the fans and the media covering this, is this stuff, the issues being argued over are complex. What's not complex is the money being lost and the fact that the odds are very slim, if not impossible, that both sides eventually get a deal that puts them in a better spot than getting on the floor right now would with the proposal that that they had on the table previously. They're losing about $200 million a month on each side. That's obviously money they're never going to get back. So it's one of those things, unfortunately, where I think that, call it ego, call it emotion, other things have come into play here that have, you know, put the situation where it is, and common sense is not ruling the day.
Last week, the players missed a paycheck for the first time since the lockout began. Does that change anything?
You would think it would, but what I'm hearing and sensing right now is that, at least I would say for the next month, maybe 6 weeks, I get the sense that the players are not going to fold or cave or, you know, go that route, which a lot of people had assumed that once the checks, you know, stop coming, that's what would take place. These guys obviously make a lot of money. Just to give people an idea, it was reported the other day that, you know, LeBron James' first check was over $1 million, that's money he'll never get back. You know, Dirk Nowitzki, you know, the MVP of the NBA Finals, was around $700,000. So at some point, I think that crunch and that factor does come into play, but I think that it doesn't come into play yet. The players have different funds that came their way at the end of last season that I think are keeping them from panicking just yet.
With the most recent breakdown in negotiations, there have been rumors of more top-level players heading overseas, the latest among them being Kevin Durant. Is this what the league had in mind a few years ago when the commissioner said he wanted to expand across the globe?
I'm not going to speak for the commissioner. I probably not. I don't think that's what he had in mind. It does speak to the global popularity of the game that there is so much interest, and there are teams overseas that are very excited about possibly signing these guys. You know, Deron Williams has been playing in Turkey for a couple of months, the New Jersey Nets point guard, and Kevin Durant is talking to a number of teams, possibly going to Germany. But no, it's not only not what David Stern envisioned, but it's a short-term solution, and it's not even a solution for the players. It's a stopgap that probably about 10% of the league will be successfully able to, you know, to get a job overseas and not feel the sting of this lockout. But the jobs are not nearly aplenty enough. And on top of that, at this late date, a lot of those teams have their seasons well underway. So I think some of the stars are going to have opportunities, but most of the guys won't.
Sam Amick writes about pro basketball for Sports Illustrated. Sam, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.